This isn't going to have fancy music or fancy sound effects. If I really wanted to, I would get up there and do it. But usually my audio mo ideas come either on the fly, you know, just out of nowhere, or they're late in the evening and I want to have enough time to at least, you know, remove any hissing or anything the best way I can, you know, with room noise print samples and stuff like that. And then adjust the volume if need be. Because usually to have as little hissing as possible, I will turn down the volume of the mic really low and get a little intimate with the mic, as was recommended on a YouTube video once. That way your voice is captured more, but you don't, your mic is only capturing your voice, and you just have to raise the volume up a bit, you know, so that way people can hear you better. But this is the first time in a while that I'm doing an audio mo in the morning, and that's because some ideas came to me. This is appropriate, especially for the last day of audio mo. We're going to talk about time and how precious time is. When people say time is on my side, they consider time a friend. Time is generous to them, and they're enjoying their either alone time or quiet time or quality time with friends and family, or relaxing time on vacation. So it just had me think about this. For one, my friend Christian, when he does his audio mos, he's always got the clocks going on in the background. And for two, he mentioned that he wanted to go visit a friend in Australia next year because her health isn't doing so good. And he wanted to visit her before, in his words, before it's too late. And how interesting that, you know, people, we often think about that when we have spare time. That's the other type of time. We think about wanting to go see somebody, want to go visit somebody or talk to them or call them on the phone before it's too late, before you don't get to speak to them ever again. You want that opportunity to do that. And you think about it and you think, well, when I have time, when I get off work, I'm going to give her a call. I think that's the right thing to do. Or when I get home from school, before I do my homework, I'm going to give her a call. And you plan this with the best intentions ever in your heart. And you don't always get that chance. You get home, you get sidetracked on something, something else comes up that you didn't expect. Things happen. And now it seems as though time is not on your side. Time is your worst enemy. It does not wait for you. You know, when you're going through a particular hard time, and you don't exactly expect your friends to fight your battles, but you say, wait for me. I need you to wait for me. This is a hard time. And you just need someone there on your side. A good friend will stay there. Time won't. In times of trouble, time is always an enemy. Either the time of trial drags on, or when you don't have enough time to finish business, it just seems to go from a trickle to a waterfall, and it just suddenly slips out of your fingers. Gone, gone, gone. And all this time has passed by. And other people may say, well, people perceive time differently. And that's very true. But we talk about, I'll be with you till the end of time, or before time began. this whole concept of time. You know, people talk about creation, and some people have their myths of creation. I believe that God is our creator. But people talk about before time began. And the whole scientific idea behind time, you know, minutes, hours, seconds, what do they call those, nanoseconds, you know, just the idea of the concept of time. Time goes on, whether we think about it or not, whether we talk about minutes or, you know, those are just measurements of time assigned by scientists. God didn't say, well, the thing with 60 seconds is going to be a minute, and the thing with 60 minutes is going to be an hour, and the other thing with 60 minutes is going to be a show on CNN. No, I'm just kidding. Or, what does 60 minutes come on now? I'm really bad at that. I haven't watched 60 minutes in I don't know how long. But, yeah, you know, that's another show that's devoted to time that... I don't know, isn't 60 minutes like typically a half hour and they just play like two episodes together? Or am I mistaken? I haven't seen that show in a long time. But I love the signature time ticking ticker that they have at the beginning and the end of the show. That's really cool. But time, guys, I believe firmly there may be days where we think we have time on our side, and we generally do. We have today. That's why I did this audio mo in the morning. And it's also the last audio mo. I'm going to miss audio mo. But we have today on our side for the moment. Pretty soon, though, the evening will come and you'll think, whatever happened to today? It seemed to fly by. Not on my watch. It seems that time flies by when you're having fun. Most of all. But time's always the same. The minutes and the seconds tick by. It's how we perceive it. There are days that we only get our 6 hours sleep, and it's like it's so precious that you're trying to soak in those minutes and just enjoy them and sleep in them and lavish and luxuriate how sleep is lavishly poured on you. And the 6 minutes, the 6 hours, boy, if I only had 6 minutes of sleep, I'd be the grouchiest woman on this planet. But the 6 hours of sleep go by, and you wake up, and you're like, wow, where did that go? Wow, the 6 hours sure went pretty quickly. And you're thinking to yourself, oh my goodness. You know, whatever happened there? And then there are days when you just can't sleep through the night. And you wake up and you go, oh my God, will this night ever end? You know, and so it's really our mind. I wonder if our mind itself gains time or loses time faster than the time actually passes. Do we perceive the seconds going by, you know, quicker in our mind, and then we go and look at the clock, and we say, oh, that clock is slow. Oh, we need to fix it, you know? Or do we think that the time is going by too slow? And then we go and look at the time, and we go, no, it's clock's running normally. And I notice when people count, you know, somebody says count to five and they go one, two, three, four, five. So when my dad or somebody used to say, oh, it'll be ready in 10 seconds. And then people go one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. And a typical clock, you know, a second is basically click, tick, tick around there. Some clocks go really fast and some just do the second ticks. So when people count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that's not even 10 seconds. So what are people, how do people perceive time? And it's really a matter of time before we figure it out. but time is precious, you know, while you have time on your side, time is so precious. There may be some people saying, I don't have time on my side. My cousin or my brother or sister, they have lymphoma or something is going on. Well, maybe that's the case, but right now they're still alive. And as far as I'm concerned, if this person is still alive and still able to breathe and talk and think, then time is on your side. So you still have that opportunity to say your I love yous and your goodbyes and whatever else you need to say. Because time is precious. You know, my father had his ruptured aneurysm at age 38. The man just keeled over and died. 1 minute, it was time to have supper. And the last word my dad spoke to me was, all right, he would be in shortly. And you knew, you didn't press your dad. You didn't say, come on, Dad, supper's ready. You didn't do that. You left him to what he was doing. You left him to his tools and things of that nature. He was sitting on a bench outside the house on a porch. And God said, come on home, and that was it. Poof. He keeled over. He was reading a book on how to fix the car. It was a book on mechanics, you know, where the parts were, and that was it. And the last word my father spoke to me was, all right. Because for that brief moment when I told him, Dad, Mom said supper's ready. You want to come inside? All right. He thought time was on his side. 45 minutes later, my house is a pure chaos. Neighbors are on the floor trying to give my dad CPR. People are rushing to call 911. My little brother is crying, 8 years old, doesn't know the concept of death, saying, it's my fault daddy's dead, it's my fault daddy's dead, it's my fault he's dead, and just crying, and there's no way to console him. I'm running into the kitchen. At this time, I felt the effects of a seizure coming on, but I was trying to lay down, relax, meditate, and of course, I remember that particular time, nobody had their phone on their chargers. Everybody had cordless phones, but everybody was too lazy to put them back on the cradle. I was obsessed with talking on the phone, so I always put my phone on the cradle. And I remember my brother running into my room, because that's when they needed a phone the most. I'm the eldest, but the older of the two younger brothers, he ran into my room and he said, Dad's not breathing, Dad's not breathing. So, of course, I was out of bed. I was feeling dizzy and nauseous and just those nasty signs that a seizure was going to occur. I would get those seizures. They were nocturnal when I was a teenager. And I grew out of them. I didn't grow out of them until my early 20s. But knock on wood, I have not had another seizure since. But it was really weird because it was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I would have these waves of nausea, like all day long. I would have these maybe, you know, 10, 15 second just waves of nausea and dizziness. My extremities would go numb. And the environment around me would change, like the different sounds would change. Like one time, my cousin, who has an American accent, came up to me and asked me if I wanted a glass of iced tea, but she said it with a British accent. And that was how my mind was saying it. And it was really weird because people could be standing next to me and going, Melissa! And yelling. And they would sound like they were a million miles away. My extremities were numb. I couldn't feel the ground. And this only lasted about 10 to 15 seconds. I knew what was going on. I had the concept of, you know, aware. I was aware. So I knew everything that was taking place, but it just seemed like it was so far away. I could reach out and touch somebody and they'd be there, but they would feel like they were fading underneath my hands. And I would just feel so numb and so lost in this kind of haze that was enveloping me. So all day I'd been having these signs. And I would take my medication. I would meditate. And usually things like this would keep it at bay. But the moment I heard about my dad's death, I was up and out of my bed and running into the kitchen, and it was total chaos. People were screaming, people were crying, and 45 minutes before this, time was on our side. We were just a normal American family. I even remember that day, I was so upset at my sister's cat. Cats scare me. I don't mind cats. I'll pet them, but I've had cats, when I wouldn't pay attention to them, scratch my face. Well, that particular day, my sister's cat bought her a present. And it was a little dead mouse sitting in our garage. And my dad always teased me because he said I was such a girly girl. Little things grossed me out. I would always lose my appetite, look like I was going to get sick, even to the point where if something grossed me out, my mom would say, "Hey, go over to the toilet." You know, she would push me over to the toilet because she said I always looked like I was about to barf, and sometimes I did. But that particular day, it was early evening, late afternoon. By that time, you know, it's pretty hot. You know, March is springtime, so it's still cool, but it's still warm during the days. And usually when I'm at home, I take off my shoes, so I'm barefoot. And I go into the garage because my chore was the laundry. And my brothers and sisters always had the task of separating the clothes into specific piles. You know, light-colored clothing, dark, whites, that sort of thing. My mom, I always called her the towel bandit because I never found towels in our laundry until the day Dad cleaned out Mom's closet. And instead of hanging up the towels on a rack, she always put her dirty towels in the closet to be washed. So you'd go and you'd check Mom's closet, and there were all the dirty towels. And we're thinking, how come there's no clean towels? Sure enough, going to Mom's closet, half her dirty laundry was towels. So the towel bandit was active again, and so they were bringing out all of Mom's stuff. And I had a big pile of towels to wash. I specifically remember I was getting a load of towels in the wash. And I stepped on a mouse. And I was barefoot. So I didn't know it was a mouse. And so I ran inside and I said, "Mom, Mom, Mom, I stepped on something." And of course she sends my younger brother, who had even a more sensitive stomach than I do. I have a sensitive stomach, guys. It's really weird. And so she sends my brother, who would throw up at the sight of a raisin thinking it was a speck of poop. I mean, just any little thing set him off. And he went out to the garage with me. She sent the worst possible person out there. And I said, "What is it? What did I step on?" And all of a sudden I heard, and I was like, "Oh no, that doesn't sound good." And he goes, "It's a mouse." And I remember him running into the house. And so I ran into the house going, "Ew, ew, 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 ew." And, you know, running to my shower and my dad going, "Oh, knock it off. It's just a mouse." And I remember getting so mad at my dad and saying, "Daddy, at least you didn't step on it barefooted. You're disgusting. It's disgusting. It's good." And so I was getting mad at my dad, and my dad's like, "Oh, stop your bawling." And he goes outside to start working on this car. My mom goes over to prepare supper. I'm still going, "Ew, ew, ew," even though I've washed my foot a million times in the shower. And, you know, we're trying to calm down from this little minor incident. And I just remember one of the last things my dad said to me is, "Oh, stop your bawling. It's just a mouse." Well, that mouse's time was definitely not on his side, because if that cat didn't kill him, I surely did, because I stepped on it. And let me tell you guys, that is not the most pleasant experience ever. I just remember, like, everything in that day was so vivid to me. Even the stepping on the mouse thing, of course, it was the most gross experience for me. So my family, everybody called me the mouse murderer. Because actually at camp once, I stepped on a mouse in my slippers, but that time I was not barefoot. And that time there was no cat around. There was just a mouse in our cabin who was being a nuisance. And I stepped on it by accident. And I heard a little squeak. So everybody called me mouse murderer. I was always the one killing mice when I didn't even see them. So that nickname was with me along with my mom. Everybody called her the towel bandit that day because we always had our dirty towels come out of mom's closet. So towel bandit, I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on. And so then we got supper ready, just like a typical family. And before you know it, our lives changed in 1 second. The aneurysm erupted. He killed over, gone. There was no saving him. And little did I know this, I didn't find out until later, but, you know, everything was a haze after that. And the cops were driving by our house all the time. And I was wondering why the cops were driving by our house all the time. And my
nothing.
And
you go back to the room?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
And I was asking one of my aunts, you know, why are the cops just driving by the house? And she said, well, let's put it to you honestly. A 38-year-old man doesn't just suddenly die. So before they got the results of the autopsy, they were surveilling the house. Because it's true. A 38-year-old man doesn't just suddenly collapse and go poof, he's gone. And I don't know. It's pretty interesting how all that happened. And now that it's the last day of Audio Mo, it's very appropriate and fitting to talk about time. From now until the next Audio Mo, what will happen in that time that you have been apart from Audio Mo? Audio Mo, it's weird. It's like, it's almost like a friend. It's really strange because you wake up and you know there's Audio Mo's. And this Audio Mo is bringing you all kinds of cool stuff from all kinds of wonderful, cool people. So, it's there when it happens, and then when it's gone, it's gone. It's like a friend coming to visit. And today's the last day of Audio Mo. And I hear the fire trucks outside. I say to myself, God bless them. They're probably getting to somebody's house and saving them. And those sirens are saying, get out of the way. The more time we have, the better chance we could save somebody. And so time is very precious. How will you spend your time? Today it's probably quality time for us.
8:22 a.m.
It's 8:22. Ooh. 36 minutes. And so it's quality time for us. Like I said, there's no music. Jeremy, are you okay?
Yeah, I gotta pee.
Oh, I went by the bathroom and I heard him like, oh. I thought he was gonna have a seizure or something. But the only sound effects we get is a Labrador. Hello! Ah! No jumping. No jumping. No jumping. No jumping. That's a good boy. He just jumped, like landed square on my chest. His two front paws are like, hi-ya! Hello. So tell us what you're going to do with your precious time today. Huh? What are you going to do with your precious time today? You're going to foof? Is that all you're going to do? Is you're gonna foof? Huh? What are you gonna do with your precious time? Remember,
at this time, time's on our side, so we could do something very special. We can make somebody smile. Sometimes I do take Zappa out when I take him outside. Of course, he's out of harness when I take him to do his duty. But sometimes my elderly neighbor comes out, and she lost her roommate, I would say, a couple months ago now. She gets someone to come and assist her, like take her shopping and stuff. But come here, Labrador. Oh, yeah? Is that how you're spending your time today? You're just going to groan and collapse on the bed, fall asleep. Anyway, my elderly neighbor lost her roommate a couple months ago, and she's so lonely. So I let Zappa, you know, I let Zappa go up to her, and I'm holding him by the leash. He's wagging his tail, and he just stands there. And it's weird because normally he gets excited. We have to remind him, you know, no jumping when he's around people because he wants to lick at their face. He wants to just, you know, he wants to just be with them. But Zappa, when I bring him over to the elderly neighbor, he doesn't jump on her. He just stands there. He knows that she's feeling alone, that, you know, she lost. Well, he probably doesn't know that her roommate died, but he knows that there's something wrong with her. And she's a frail little gal. So he would have her on the ground beaten to a pulp if he jumped on her.
Oh, my baby. Hi.
Hello. We're spending time together. We're talking all about time.
Yeah, we need time together. And you're wondering what I'm going to do with my time right now. I'm going to hug my bubbles.
Oh, well, thank you, darling. I love my hubbles.
I'm going to hug my bubble bear.
Yeah, we're hubbles and bubbles. So,
he's my teddy bear.
But Zappa just, like, stays completely calm. He just stands on his four paws, and he just lets her pet him. And one time he actually peed not far from her at this little plant area. And she said, "Good boy, water the plants. We're having a drought." So whenever she sees him peeing at a tree or at a bush, she says, "Good boy, you're helping us with our drought." Because the plants and trees and stuff, they're not getting a whole lot of water, especially here in the desert when they need it most. So, you know, what are you guys going to do with your precious time? You know, as far as I'm concerned, time's on your side as long as your family is still alive. And if your family is still alive, it's never too late. It's never too late to, you know, repair relationships or visit a dear friend that you very well care for. It's never too late, guys. Right, Zappa? Right, Jeremy?
Yeah, my love.
So, do you have anything to say about time?
Well, I'm happy to spend time with my bubbles.
Yes. Tomorrow's our anniversary. And I'll be posting our wedding day audio.
Oh.
Yeah. Should I put an AudioMo hashtag? Because AudioMo ends today.
Oh, it's up to you, babies.
Just so that our AudioMo people could hear it, I'll put it as an AudioMo extra. So.
I've got a folder for it now called Wedding Day.
Yeah, the audio. So, for you audio mowers who sound a lot better than lawn mowers, get it. Yep. For you audio mow people, I will put it up with the hashtag audio mow, but I'll call it a number audio mow extra. Even though technically tomorrow's not audio mo, but this way, those who've been listening to my audio mo and that don't follow me on Twitter or Audio Boom can hear it. And, yeah, that's pretty cool. Alrighty. So, I'm gonna go feed my puppy. That's another thing. He knows the word H-U-N-G-R-Y. Now, right now, he is laying in bed. He has his head on my arm. And he's very, very, very comfy. Yeah. Just like my hubby is. But the moment I say the H word, he is up and at him. Right now, he's a sleepy little furry log on my bed. Covered in a blanket, partially.
When he's not taking it.
Yeah, when he's not taking it. He keeps, like, his memory foam bed is right next to our bed because I like to clear a big big enough space for Jeremy to get to his computer. Because my side of the bed is close to a closet, so I don't like Zappa to lay on my side because then we have no room to get in the closet. So he lays on Jeremy's side of the bed. He lays on his memory foam bed on the floor. And what he'll do is he'll rub his back against our bed to the point where he, like, pushes up against it and our blanket goes down with him. And then he'll get enough of the blanket on the bed to lay on. And then he'll lay on the bed and he'll go... Rrr. So he'll take... And he'll be laying on our blanket and then... You know, a little inch by inch by inch during the night, he's slowly kind of rubbing his back against our bed and he's taking the blanket. And we'll wake up in the morning and the blanket will be halfway on the floor and Zappa's laying on it. And so we both have to do like tug of war, like, ready, Jeremy, let's pull this off. 1, 2, 3. Ah, and we pull it out from under Zappa, and we don't mean to do that, but we're cold, you know, at times, and we need the covers. And Zappa will just sometimes sit up and go, "Arr." And then he'll collapse back on his bed, and he'll go, like, oh, man, I'll have to live without my blanket. But I love doggy groans and sighs. It's so cute, especially during my lectures at college. When the professor just drones on and on and on, he will groan, and sometimes he'll groan loud enough where the professor might say, "Thank you for your opinion, Zappa. I'll have to consider that next time." In fact, one of them did. And then one day in my psychology class, he had an itch for some reason. It was just one of those days. And the professor goes, "Okay, and next up on the agenda we have..." And then Zappa starts itching himself. So she goes, "Next on the agenda, we have an itchy dog." And she goes, "Believe me, my dog does that at home too." So finally Zappa stopped itching himself so that the tags on his collar stopped jingling and things settled down. But it was just funny because she goes, "Next on the agenda, we have itchy dog." And... she does a lot of obedience training with her dog, so she carries treats around. And Zappa, whenever she would walk by, his nose would stick to her like a magnet. And she'd be like, "Yes, I know, I have treats." And one particular day, she was up on the podium, because I was a little late to class. She was already up on the podium giving the lecture, and Zappa led me to the podium instead of the seat. He's like, "I want to lecture with her too." You silly doggy. Mwah. Yes. Oh, my little baby. My little furry Labrador. So, I'm afraid to say the four words that will bring my Labrador to life. But it is time. It's like 8:30 now, so.
I am.
You are?
Yeah.
So... sleepy Labrador, you hear nothing, right? This will get him up and out of bed. And you'll hear him because the tags on his collar jingle. Zap, are you hungry? He's up. Looks like we gotta go feed him. And he just foofed at me because I didn't get up right away. Okay. I'm coming, Labrador. I take him out. I take him potty late at night, almost to 11 o'clock, because this way I could watch the news and I could sleep in, because when do I get a chance to sleep in? That's why he gets fed at 8:30. on sleepy in days. Because I don't get to do this when I go to school. But usually when I go to school, he gets fed between 7 and 7:30. And, you know, taken out, that sort of thing. Hello, furry Labrador. He's standing, poised, ready to attack the door as soon as I let him out. And he's really funny because... Sit. Here, sit. What I do is I let him stay in the room because I'm trying to teach him patience. But I go and I get his... I need to let the door shut. I go and I get his food ready. And it's really funny because he runs like the wind. We have a long hall. It's a narrow hall, but it's not like extremely long. It's just very narrow. I feel like sometimes I'm going through a straw because it's kind of narrow. But we have this long hall. And whenever I let Jeremy, whenever I let Zap out of the room, don't tell anybody I did that, you guys. Especially my husband. So when I let him out of the room, he runs down this long hall. And sometimes Jeremy will be in the kitchen. Oops. I only give him... I give him a small feeding for breakfast. He only gets a half a cup-ish. Anyway, so... Yeah, it's in the evening when he gets his two cups. In the morning, this way he doesn't have to go so much. I just do it for that sake, for college. In fact, you guys will remember... You guys will remember last time my trainer actually told me to feed him only once a day because he had that pooping problem and he would go anywhere and everywhere. It didn't matter. If we were en route, he would just go. So, but anyway, he'll run down the hall and sometimes my husband will be in the kitchen and he'll go, "Stampede!" It's really funny because Zappa will just go crazy. You guys will hear him run down the hall in a second because I'm about to open this door and the stampede will come. So, look out. He's already at the food bowl. Stampede, my husband said. Stampede! Because I'm sure it probably surprises people. I don't water his morning food because it's such a small amount, but I do soak his evening food because he doesn't drink enough water, and I don't want him to be dehydrated and stuff like that. So yeah, guys. Audio Mo. Do you like Audio Mo, huh? Do you like Audio Mo? He's wagging his tail, guys. That's a yes answer. Do you like Audio Mo? Yeah? Do you like Audio Mo? Wag your tail if you like Audio Mo. That should be the same for all of you guys. Wag your tail if you like Audio Mo. Hi, puppy. Hi, puppy. Wag your tail if you like Audio Mo. Wag your tail if you like Audio Mo. He just put his... He just planted a kiss on the phone. I don't know. My phone is unlocked, so I probably better be careful. Because he did a double tap gesture once and paused a recording. I'm not lying. His tongue, I don't know what he did. Maybe VoiceOver thought it was a split tap. I don't know. he was able to stop my recording on Audioboo. Don't you foof. Come here. Come here. Good boy. Oh, the foof. Hey, no. Get your little furry butt over here. I need to put on your poop bag. Now stay still. Yes, I know you're going to wag. Wag, wag, wag. Waggy, waggy, wag. I love when we put the toileting harness on him and he's wearing the plastic bag and he wags his tail. So his tail will do this like... Because it wags against the bag. I know, I'm strange. But it's a cute sound. So. And if he wags his tail really fast, it's actually kind of funny. Hey. Hey, can you get off your bag, please? Thank you. Oh, no, let's get your tail out of the bag. We want it to go through the handle and over to the top hooks. Yeah, there we go. Okay, there we go. Yay! Do you like Audio Mo, Zappa? Do you like Audio Mo? He's giving a little wag. He's like, I love Audio Mo, but I really have to go potty. So, guys, I'm going to take off. So, remember, you have time on your side today. What are you going to do with it? All right? I know I'm going to be enjoying the day with my family, tomorrow especially. And we're going to just make this day count. So, enjoy the rest of Audio Mo, guys. And I will see you on the flip side. I will post the audio wedding post as a number Audio Mo extra. Hashtag Audio Mo Extra, however you want to say it. And I will let you guys hear that as an Audio Mo Extra. But tomorrow will be our 9th wedding anniversary. So, all right, guys. So enjoy this beautiful day. And I will see you soon. Great to meet everybody on Audio Mo. Enjoy spending your time doing the things that you love to do. So, have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.